Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? Welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. And welcome
to Hell Week.
Hell Week. It's kind of a football thing, but we're doing it for baseball. Hell Week in football was hellacious. It was just horrible drills and all that type of stuff. And we do it for our version of it for baseball is doing shows every single day. It's horrible. It's horrific. That's just a lot.
There's a lot for us.
Yeah, there's a lot that's going on. And we are dropping Hell Week where every single day there is an In This League episode and they're dedicated to ranks. Everybody else has been out there talking about their ranks, talking about their players. We decided to wait a little bit till spring training started to kick off. We had signings done. I get why people do it early because it kind of works as a filler. It kind of works for people to just like get their podcast going like, hey, we're going to talk about the players and we just have done a million other things with mock drafts and stuff. So today on the episode, Bogman and I are presenting to you corner infielders. So you get two positions. We're going to be talking about first and we'll be talking about third and we will be doing this throughout the rest of the week. Have you really prepared yourself for Hell Week for an episode every single day?
I mean, I haven't, but we get through it every single year. I prep the sheets, so yeah. That's the main important thing for me is just to see it in front of me before we do it. So doing all the sheets for this kind of refamiliarize myself and let's talk about some players.
Do you understand how much of me there is this week in baseball? Like, I feel bad for people.
There is so much. You got Hell Week here. You got Rates and Barrels.
No, let's break this
you
down.
You got CVS.
Five days. You say CVS?
I got CVS, Walgreens, HEB, Randall's, Fry's Marketplace.
Is there a bigger ripoff on the planet than CVS?
What? You don't like 28-foot long receipts for one bottle of shampoo? That
you're like, oh, I got to get some floss. And they're like, okay, that's great. That'll be $9. You're like, what? What are you? And here's a 13-foot receipt. Yeah. It's the worst. It's worse.
With all the frog chemicals on it. Sorry.
They're going to get no frog. Putting the frogs in the Best Buy and they're going to be
a late night. We're doing this for us. So
it is late night. I'm very loopy. But no, 5 episodes of ITL.
Yes.
I'm filling in for DVR. So 2 episodes of Rates and Barrels this week.
7.
3 episodes of Fantasy Pros.
10.
And CBS.
11.
Not CBS. CBS. Plus, that's, I think we there's like a guest appearance on a show. Like, it's a lot. Like, if you all still like me, if you like me after this week, then I think we're okay. We're going to be pretty good. Luckily, it's all going to be very, very different stuff. Did I tell you I had somebody? This is a cool thing. And it's so weird because of all the things I'm doing, the places that people know me from now. And I was on the backfield of the Mariners the other day and somebody came up to me and someone was like, hey, is your name Chris? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like,
they didn't ask you if you work for Chris Welsh.
No. Yeah. Not like you. That's what you get. You work for Scott Bogman. And
work for me.
I really like this guy. And he came out. He's like, oh, man. He's like, I watch you on CBS. Love seeing you over there. And I think he listens to other shows because he goes, I feel like we're like best friends because I listen to you so much. And I laugh because I was like, yeah, it's pretty easy to find me every single day. And it's for the haters, it's a nightmare. Hopefully for everybody else, it is pretty good. And, you know, we'll probably try to sprinkle in some spring training stuff. These episodes are kind of actually not really, they're not meant to be very time specific. So talking about a bunch of unique things is weird, but no positional stuff has really happened in most of the spring training. Though I will tell you one thing, it does not equate to this episode for tomorrow, which I will talk to you about. But I do have a little bit of Fernando Tatis Jr. news of what I saw over in Padres camp. So when we talk about middle infielders, I will have that. But I don't think I have any really good corner infield stuff. So we will get to the things. This episode is brought to you by InThisLeague.com. It's our Patreon. If you guys want to come and sign up, you want to support In This League. So there's ways you could do it. You could just be like, hey, I like these guys and I want them to keep doing this stuff. So go and support InThisLeague.com. Sign up at any level. Here's the other thing. When you do that, or if you're someone that just wants the stuff, which I get because we like stuff and Bogman things. We like stuff and things. If you want that, we've got ranks. We've got prospect ranks. We've got dynasty ranks. Redraft, like I mentioned, all of those available at like $5. Plus our GroupMe rooms where you can come and hang out with us, the community, be a part of mock drafts, be a part of leagues when we do it, discount codes, tons of stuff. If you like stuff and things, you want to support us, be a part of the ITL Army at InThisLeague.com. We would greatly appreciate it. And thank you guys very much. And I will say that I believe we have a shot at breaking the all-time month record of Patreon. We may have already
done,
but I know we're close. Here will be the big litmus test, though, is when February ends, if we are still over 700. Because that happened last month. We got into the 700s, and then the new month started, and then we went down.
You know what this is? This is so right when COVID happened, we were hitting a surge. I mean, we were raising way, way up. We got over 700. I don't know. We're right in this range where we were then. Yep. And then COVID happened, and of course, a lot of people jumped off. So it only took us 3 years to get back here, Welsh. And we're back to right where we were.
It only took COVID me going started. And working at Athletic and CBS and Fantasy Pros to just get back to where we were before pre-COVID. And the litmus test will be when the month ends, will we stay? And if we do, that will be phenomenal. So hopefully you guys come and consider checking us out in InThisLeague.com. And like I said, there's a bunch of just ridiculous.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
The amount of different things. Our ranks are up there. We do post all the updates. And Freddie Prospect people, we are going to be doing the P180Ps coming up here very soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
And on to first base. So here's a little nugget I have for you, Boggs. I do have a spring training nugget for you that'll equate to the corner infield. So Mariners camp on Thursday, same camp where I got to meet someone who I was their best friend, and now they're my best friend. So we're best friends now.
That's great.
Mariners camp over on a far field. The Mariners camp is actually cool because it's really open. You know, it's like a big, there's some camps that are not. White Sox is like, you know, you want to be around players, you are in like a box. Like there's a fence and not too much. The Mariners, you walk in, and I mean, it is four baseball fields long of like, you can go back to these quads, go over here. So you got a lot of movement. So there's a lot of walking. I'm getting my steps in. I'm going to drop some LBs, hopefully in spring. Except that there's a Chick-fil-A that's really close by, and those fries are. Me and my wife,
I was
going to
say,
fries.
I'll find those pounds that you lose. Don't worry. They're not going to go very far. So
I could spend the whole day like I didn't eat, and I'm like walking around, drinking water. And then after I'm about to leave, and I'm like, oh, you know what sounds good? A Chick-fil-A fries, a Chick-fil-A sauce, and a shake. That sounds really good.
Chick-fil-A Chick-fil-A sauce is like 1B. I got Polynesian as my 1A.
Oh, I've never about tried rankings. That. Do they have
try the Polynesian
out there?
Oh, yeah. Try the Polynesian.
What is it? What's the, I don't know what Polynesian
it's
tastes
a little
like.
Sweet and soury. A little bit like that, but not as sweet. So it's good.
Some more sour. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, give it a shot.
We'll be at the Mariners or Padres very close by.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm sure you're not gonna have any chance to stop by Chick-fil-A and run by and grab one. So
it'll be like twice a week. It'll be like twice a week that I'm at the Mariners or Padres. So I'm over at the Mariners, and you go back on the far field, and all the guys are here practically. The only guys that weren't here last week were Teoscar Hernandez. I didn't see Ty France either. Everybody else is here, and you've got this field, and it's Julio Rodriguez. To the left is Kelnick. I don't even remember who the other guy was. And I take this picture, and it was like, you know, I've had some good traction on these pictures, and I'm like, hey, Julio is in camp. Everyone get excited. In the picture, though, Evan White is taking a grounder using what looks like a first base glove, or I'm sorry, an outfield glove, and I didn't even fathom it. And everybody jumps on this and they're like, whoa, Evan White in the outfield? Is that Evan? And blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you know what? Because I recalled when he left, he did have two gloves with him, but one was a first base glove. So I tweet out like, hey, he still had a first base glove. So I don't know if that's true. So I went the next day to the Padres. It died real quick. And then I went back to the Mariners and I caught Evan White after a session and no one was around. And I just asked him, I'm like, hey, are you working in the outfield? And he goes, oh, that's funny. He's like, yeah, there was some picture circulating yesterday that my wife found, and I was like real quiet about it. I wasn't like, no, it was me. And I was like, oh yeah, there was
some effing guy took a picture of me, and all these people were hitting up my wife.
Well, no, his wife found it, and he's not right about this. I think he said like, oh, that picture was someone else, and I'm like, no, it wasn't. But he said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, no, that was blah, blah, blah. And he's like,
Shaggy, it wasn't me.
And I'm like, okay. And he's like, but I'm not going in the outfield. He's like, we haven't talked about it. They haven't told me. There's nothing going on about it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. You've always been like a gold glove first baseman. He's like, yeah, unless they have some plan, I don't know anything about it, but no, that wasn't real. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I tweeted about that. So there's your camp corner infield news that I can kind of relate to anybody of the position players that were actually out here. So we don't have to talk about Evan White in the outfield grouping. We just got to talk about all these other guys. The first base position as a whole, when we're going to talk about it, you don't want it with any of these things be like, oh, these are so deep, blah blah blah, but it just is. Like, I don't have to tell everybody, the top is very elite. The middle, I can be honest with you, is not like this huge thing that I'm attempting to do, because that third, and I'm roughing the tier here, because I'm like telling you, like Vlad, Freeman, Alonzo, Goldschmidt, that's tier one. That middle tier is like Matt Olson, Abreu, Pasquantino, blah, blah, blah. But then there's just big group from like 8 or 9 all the way down to 16 or 17 that you can make work in a lot of formats, like Roto. Like, yeah. I can make Josh Bell work. I can make that work if I've gotten a lot of other spots. And he's, you know, relatively way down there. I was just looking at where I have him. Let's see, ECR, he's 17. Yeah, that's the exact place I have him. Like, he's 17. You can do that. Jose Miranda, solid. Ty France, who I was just talking about, maybe. But like, if you can go 17 deep on a position, I think it's okay to call this deep. It's a position that you can like screw around with. It's not to not draft the top guys, but there is just better ability of players that you can get. And there are some better dart throws than some other places have, with a couple rookies that qualify there that are tantalizing. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I know it's, you know, it's kind of widely known as like a solid position, which I completely agree with.
I would say I'm not on board with it being very deep. I would say it's pretty deep, like, and especially when we get to third, comparatively, it's deep. I think
I might argue that first. I think it might be the deepest single position of all, besides starting pitching.
I think short is. Because
I was going to argue with you, short at, let's say, ECR 18 is Javier Baez, but 17 is Nico Horner. Is Nico Horner at 17 better depth than Josh Bell at 17?
Yeah, I don't like Josh Bell. So, yes, okay. I mean, I also have Josh Bell at 17.
Oh, let's use 15 then real quick. 15 is Jeremy Peña at shortstop, which is pretty dang good. And 15 at first base is Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, or Rizzo for me.
I would say short is better to me.
So okay. I like short better. I think there's more short things at short. I think the potential is probably better at first. So we can agree on that. I think the potential for some of these guys to come through, but I'm a little worried about, you know, first base has become more of a rotational position than it has been in the past, because first base, you used to just have anchors. You used to have Todd Helton, and he's going to play every game, and you don't have to make any other move. You know what
you
I mean?
You have Todd Helton still. He's called Goldschmidt.
I understand, but you used to have multiple of those guys. They were also all doing steroids. So yeah. Sure, you know, it was better back then, but I just think it's fine. I wouldn't say it's deep. I would say it's okay. But I mean, we're running into problems in a lot of positions because a lot of spots are becoming more rotational. It's just the way that it's breaking down.
So we're going to talk about we're going to numerically go through the top 24. We'll give you the numbers. We'll pick some players and stuff. But outside of that, we still have tiers on our Patreon. We've got like 40 deep more, you know, that maybe even a little bit more, I'm not sure, that you can check out. And the 25 through 36 is interesting because, you know, as Bogman off air put it, like, this is like your third tier of 12 teams starting shortstops, or technically, you know, your second to third tier in Roto, which means it's probably a bench guy or utility.
We don't do it in baseball because there's so many Roto leagues, and so many leagues are 15 players deep. But if you're in a 12 man, which is a lot of leagues are 12 man, you know, that's like your first baseman, your second first baseman, your third first baseman. That's kind of how we tier it.
Yeah, exactly. And shortstop or third base is not deep enough to, like, you know, bank on that and bank on those players. You're actually probably banking on shortstops or first baseman. Though I would say, like, when I'm just glancing at the list and I'm looking at like my own, in any of the drafts that we're doing, I don't think I really see anyone from 31 down go, at least my 31. But I'm also trying to be relative to like looking at some of the names. 31 down, I just don't see them be drafted in any of our standard drafts that we do. Now, I guess sometimes we don't do bench, so maybe you might get a couple of them, but those names just kind of dip down. They are further down. Like, you know, a popular name I tend to think about that we both have pretty low. We are both lower than ECR consensus. I think, is it because you have this red? That just means lower. Yeah, yeah. So Jared Walsh is who I'm talking about. Jared Walsh is ECR 30. And if you guys don't know ECR, it's the expert consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros. We just use that because it's kind of an interesting marker of all of the rankers and where they kind of average out. And Jared Walsh had a moment. He had a moment in 2021 where he hit 21 homers, good batting average. Last year, everything fell apart. His strikeout rate went over 30%. His batting average dropped by like 60 points. If I remember correctly, I don't think he could stay very healthy. And the power numbers essentially cut in half.
SportsGrid.com. Betting in.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
And yeah, he had thoracic outlet syndrome and had surgery for it this offseason, and I think he, like, just today or yesterday declared himself much, much better or healthier, or however he said it. But
he just declared it. He's like, I'm good. I'm
yeah,
good
yeah. Go. Well, I mean, like every player does. I'm 100%. I'm healthy going into spring training. You know, What a shock. Like, you can believe any of that stuff.
But, like, there's guys, like, below him that we just are never going to see get drafted. Like, we're not going to see Carlos Santana. We're not going to see, he's just Aguilar, maybe. Isak Paredes. Like, those are guys we just don't see in most typical 12 or 15-man get drafted. Jared Walsh, to me, and he's further down for you, that's kind of like maybe one of those names that could slip in, but it would be people being comfortable buying back, which I'm not. I think the strikeout rate is a major problem. Maybe there's not going to be big repercussions, but if I remember correctly, I don't believe the year after thoracic, what the hell?
Outlet syndrome
is a good thing. I don't believe the return is solid.
I think it's more for pitchers. I don't know that we've had too many hitters have this, but yeah, I mean, it hasn't been great. And by the way, you said he had a moment in what was it, 20 was 2021. That 2021? Yeah, moment's over. He hit 215 last year, so yeah. I just, you know, if he can match it, that'd be great. I would love to have another first baseman we're confident in moving forward, but he is going to be in most leagues a pickup. He's not gonna,
and that's kind of my point here of like talking about it. So a couple names outside of top 25 we'll talk about. This is number 30 for me. Number 28 actually for you. I'm actually surprised you're a little bit higher on him. I want to be higher on him, and it's Spencer Torkelson. And you know, the names I look at above, actually there's one other name we'll talk about that I could see flipping here. I've got Torkelson, like I said, 30, or 28. ECR is 29 with a high of, someone has him as 20 at first baseman. Torque last year, obviously a disappointment. Batting average was completely trash, if you will. 8 homers he put up in like 400 plate appearances, but he wasn't striking out in a crazy rate. He was walking a little bit more. And, you know, what's funny is if you look at the projections, like they take the Bat X actually thinks Torkelson's going to be better than Jared Walsh. They think he's going to be better. Overall last year, the problem was he was just like mid to worse in pretty much everything. I looking at his spray chart as well, I could in theory see with the wall coming in, even if it's higher, that this might equate to a few more. I'm looking at here, like if you look on his pull side, there's like 4 that might pull a little bit more. The problem is it was just like really low XBA, really low XWOBA, just bad overall solid contact across the board.
And he had no moments. You know, we're talking about Jared Walsh having a moment. He had zero moments. There was not a month that he hit well. His highest month was 220. He had 197 in the first half versus 219 in the second half, and also played way fewer games in the second half because he was so bad. There was nowhere with incredible power. Three homers in his first. It was the most in any month, and he just didn't put it together at any point last season. So it makes him hard to rank because he's such a high-level prospect who seemed almost like a can't-miss guy, and then he comes up and just misses.
And, you know, the big thing for me with specifically him and a lot of these, like, rookie type of guys is, like, I know you can look at what happened last year. I have a hard time believing, like, that is just the story. Like, when I look at this, there's a couple things I think are encouraging. Overall, obviously, over 110 max EV. Average exit velocity was in the 90s, which is solid. That's what you would like to see. 8% barrel. Hard hit was over 40%, which I would like to see. Not worrisome strikeout or walk rates. But it's like, if all of that was really overwhelming in that first year, if there were changes, which you would hope the team would be just on him. I mean, remember like how Miguel Cabrera openly was like, this guy is going to be a superstar. Like, he wanted to move off of positions out to make sure Torkelson was there. And it's like, I have to imagine the attention there. If there are some changes to be made, I think it could work in a really huge positive way. It's just, it's more of a dynasty thing for me. It's not really a redraft
thing that
I'm interested
in. If you do take Torque, it's because you're relatively safe and you're taking a flyer at this point. So that is where Torque's stock is at right now. He's a flyer buy.
You want to know what's hilarious too? He actually had one of the worst inverse. It's actually in the positive. I'm sorry. So he actually had it's funny now I'm looking at this. His eight homers were actually an expected 11.5. So they actually marked it as, it's weird how they do this, by the way. The expected homers, they put minus on there and they should put plus. I don't know why. It's home run.
I think it's because he's down 3.5 from where he should have been.
Yeah, but I just don't like that. It's just a little quirk about Savant. Traverse. I look at that and it's like, you should put positive because to me, that's a positive expected home run differential
where I'm not going to put negatives. It's saying drafted higher or lower. You have to say drafted before or after. Just say before or after.
You do that sometimes and I'm just like, my brain starts to melt and I'm like, and I'm just like, who's drafted higher in number numerically? Like it rattles my brain. So Torkelson is one of those guys I think is unique. I just wanted to mention him. Another one I want to mention and I want to get some guys' ears bogged was Matt Mervis. Matt Mervis had all the helium in the world. But I'm going to come back to this, which I was saying in November here. I was saying November on CBS. The Cubs have been telling us something. And they've been trying to tell us the whole time as everyone was freaking out about it, that there's something they don't trust. And they brought in Hosmer.
I don't even have him on my list.
Dude, they just brought in Edwin Rios, former first base, just some flexibility and stuff. And the big thing is, like, if Matt Mervis was incredible, is Eric Hosmer enough to keep Matt Mervis off the roster? No. But the Cubs are actively putting a roster together that doesn't look like it has Matt Mervis in mind, who's not on the 40-man. So I at one point had him much higher. I had him into the early 20s, but I'm moving
going
him down.
Into the offseason, they had nothing at first. It was Mervis's job. And then they got Hosmer, they got Trey Mancini, they got Edwin Rios. Like, they got plenty of guys that can play this position. You're absolutely right. If he does play this year, it's going to be, July at the very earliest?
So, no, I think he does. I know he plays this year. I will say this. There's a possibility that they could bring him up, if you want to talk about control. Maybe they don't bring him up until late May or June. Like, I think that's a possibility. If he's tearing up AAA like he did, I mean, famously, we can keep going through this with Matt Mervis. Matt Mervis did what, I mean, I think it should be a pillar marker to valuing players. And sometimes I think I undervalued it with like Connor Norby, but this dude lowered his strikeout rate. He went three levels in 2020, lowered his strikeout rate at every single level, increased his walk percentage at every single level, which is absurd. He maintained an almost 300 ISO at every single level, and he had over 70 homers and doubles combined, and he went to the AFL, mashed a little bit more. I mean, what he did was incredible, but there's something the Cubs don't trust, and I think the bat can get a little bit wide. Maybe they don't trust him defensively. They don't want to throw him in at DH just quite yet. There's just something there. What this actually, this reeks of control to me. This reeks of control. Like, why would this team of all teams? Okay, you got Dansby Swanson. Cool. Good for you guys. Got Cody Bellinger. Good for you. You're not a competing team. This reeks of control to me that you would bring in. I don't care about Mancini, but you bring in Hosmer, bring in Edwin Rios. So at the end of the day, I'm just not super interested, even though there's big power. So I've moved him down, though I am above ECR. That might change. And I'm very excited to see what happens in camps. But he's 32. I've got him at 29. And I didn't realize you didn't have him on the list.
Yeah, I don't have him on the list. I don't know when he plays, if he plays. Because like you said, yes, it's about control. They know they're not winning this year. If he starts out slow, if he stumbles in the beginning, it's going to take injuries to get him up, which could happen. I mean, we've seen Eric Hosmer miss games in the past. But I don't know if he comes up. Because also, you know, why wouldn't you want to save him for next year? He's a great prospect. Put him in at the beginning of next year and then have that chance to, you know, get the extra pick.
Or when the Cubs are stinking, if the Cubs are stinking, you just get out of Hosmer midway through, you cut him and let him go somewhere. And then you maybe have him at first or Mancini at first. And like, he's going to get playing time. He's cool in draft and hold. I think he's a lot tougher in every other format. You definitely would want to use your fab or waiver wire stuff to pay attention to him. Or if you have NA spots or something like that, hold. I just don't think he's a great out of camp guy. So he is moving down the list. Like, I'd rather have Trey Mancini. Like, I think Trey Mancini he's one of those guys that was on that top 10 most suppressed homers because of Baltimore. You know, like the same number I just talked about with Torkelson, the expected home run differentials. There were three Orioles that were on there. He was one of those guys that was in there. And going over into the Cubs spot, I think is actually a really cool one. He might have some RBI opportunities. I think Mancini is kind of sneaky, and I've got him I kind of feel like I might have him low. I have him at 28. You've got him at 27. ECR is 27, so someone to take a look at. A couple guys in this outside the top 24 range that intrigue you?
I mean, Garrett Cooper is probably one of my favorites, and it's I got him at 31. And really what it is I'm not in love with Garrett Cooper and what he does on the field. I like where he is projected to hit in this lineup. Roster Resource right now has him hitting cleanup for the Marlins. So he would be hitting behind Arise, Segura, and Jazz. That's a pretty good spot to be in.
It's a pretty just damn good spot.
Ahead of Avisail, Jorge Soler, Joey Wendell, Brian De La Cruz, they got down there at 8. So maybe some things can shift around. And I know, you know, Roster Resource does their best, but lineups are never 100% sold or anything. So I just like this spot that he's in, and he's decent. I wouldn't sit here and call him great. He hit 9 homers last year in 119 games. All of his projections are around 12 to 15 between Steamer and the Bad X and Zips and ATC and everybody. So I just, that's a great RBI spot. He does enough to stay there. And, you know, the bottom of this lineup is weird. So could he move down and not be a lot? Sure. But if he hits cleanup for this team, that is a great spot for run to be driven in and driving runs.
They don't really have positionally. I think they put themselves in a good spot because he's, you know, he's going to be playing, I believe, first base, right? For the Marlins. Is he locked in as a first baseman?
Sports Grid.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready.
So, yeah. I mean, I know we're talking about corner, but sometimes that doesn't mean anything. He also was an outfield guy. But, like, they don't have, like, the depth that's going to take away. You know, there was rumors at one point, like, maybe J.J. Bleday would have been one of those guys. That's not the case. I actually think they're underselling, maybe, like, the Bad X is underselling the RBI opportunities to what you mentioned. He gets more games. I think it's a really slick spot. I like him in 15-team roto. I do. I think the average is a little bit better than some of these other first basemen that are kind of stinky. The guy has, for four straight years, hit over 260. He's hit 280 three of the last 4 years. Last year was his lowest, but his strikeout percentage was kind of dipping. And he's, I mean, what was that lineup again? It was Luis Arraez, Gene Segura, and Jazz Chisholm all hitting in front of him.
Yep. Yeah. They got it right now. Arraez leading off, Segura 2, Jazz 3.
And Cooper. Deeper league, 15 team roto. So you look at Garrett Cooper. Who else you got on this list?
I want you to talk me into Tristan Casas, because what I see is a guy that came up, had a cup of coffee, was bad, and now is projected to be maybe a platoon player with Bobby Dahl back in Boston. So talk me into Tristan Casas, because I know the power is unbelievable. So that should make the upside limitless, but I don't know, man. I just sell me.
He's not going to be in a platoon with Bobby Dahlbeck. I don't know if you know this. In the camps, they were talking about working Bobby Dahlbeck, I think, at second and at short. I mean, he's a big freaking boy.
Why would they want to move around? Try him at short?
I think they just want to move around.
I want you to play short.
I think I could play short, probably.
How about that? Yeah.
I don't think I'd have a lot of range.
Yeah. I could play. I mean, a road cone could play short. You can stick a glove on it, but it's not going to have a lot of movement.
You just need to have a gold glove third baseman and second baseman around me, and I could play some solid short that have, they have really good range. No, I think Tristan Casas has the gig, and I don't read anything into, like, I don't care about what his batting average was in like 20 something games last year. What I think is more intriguing, over 200 ISO, under 25% K rate, over 20% walk rate that he put up last year, which is really, really solid. We saw him in the AFL, and he's like a really exceptional hitter, really smart guy. I love the way he's kind of a technician as well. He's one of those big analytical guys that is really into studying their own swing, and he's kind of got like a mechanism to the whole thing that I think he's just one of these guys that is going to be able to succeed. I mean, in the minor leagues, he definitely didn't blow everything away, but you know what he kind of did? He kind of had a little bit of a Rafael Devers in where, like, he would go to a level, maybe struggle, and then he would find his way through it. Like AAA, 2021, he only hit 242. 2022, he ended up hitting 273 when he was there. A-ball hit over 400. There's big, huge power. It's light tower power. I think it's a great environment for Boston. I don't think they have any other viable options they want to take off the board. There were some trade rumors in the past that they didn't want to include him. I don't think there's a ton that he has that we can speak to right now that's like, hey, it's this and this. But similar to Torkelson, it's like over 40% hard hit percentage. And I think he's going to hit for better, way better average than Bobby Dahlbeck or anybody else.
Yeah, Bobby Dahlbeck was terrible. I'm not sitting here trying to sell anyone a Bobby Dahlbeck at all. I thought, you know, if he starts out hot, great. You know, he's the guy, he gets the run. If he doesn't, then they'll find something. You know, they'll find another first baseman. They're not hard to come by.
Well, they might find one in free agency, but
Or trade for one or bring somebody else up, you know, if he's really struggling like he did last year. But I mean, yeah, the potential is there.
Counter to your point, though, if they wanted someone else, they would have traded for someone else. This is a commitment,
true.
I think.
Yeah, they're going to give him the run. Yeah, I just see seven hitter, bad lineup, you know, struggled last year. But like you said, the power is there. You know, he comes up to a level, he struggles. You know, the problem is any guy that comes up for like 30 to 40 games and struggles, you're somewhere in between. Are you Jared Kelnick?
Sure.
Who came up and struggled and was still awful? Or are you Mike Trout, who came up and struggled and is MVP, right? Like, you're somewhere in between there. Where are you? That's the thing with Casas.
And it's way too small of a sample. It's really funny. The baseball savant picture, if you look at him too, you can see it's a picture of him choking up the bat, which is something he actively does in two strike counts. It's not one of those guys. And that's the difference between him and Bobby Dahlbeck. Bobby Dahlbeck is swinging through his shoes. He knows his job is hit ball far. Tristan Casas is a hitter. He's a calculated hitter that has early approaches, and he has a completely different two-strike approach, and you can see it when he's choking up on the bat, trying to make contact, and he is, it's like farm boy strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like farm.
No, he's got light tower power. I know that. That's like the thing that everybody knows about Casas. My thing is, if he struggles for 2 months, what happens then?
That's no, sure. All. Well, but I just don't think the Red Sox are in a place where they're going to make any moves. And you hurt the development. Unless, to your point, unless it becomes Torkelson. But low strikeout rates, AA and AAA 2021 over under 20%. I mean, I think on average, he's around a 15% walk guy. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. He provides a lot of protection, which I think we could both like. All right, let's go to 24 through 13 box. I will give you mine starting with Will Myers at 24. I've got Joey Meneses at 23, Josh Naylor at 22. At 21, Miguel Vargas. Oh, yes, I'm in on Miguel Vargas. Tristan Casas is actually my 20th, followed by Brandon Drury at 19, Ty France at 18, Josh Bell, Jose Miranda at 16. So then the start of my 15-team roto starting first baseman is Rowdy Tellez at 15, Andrew Vaughn at 14, and Anthony Rizzo at 13.
For me, I've got Will Myers at 24. We move up to Seth Brown at 23. Brandon Drury at 22. Luis Arraez at 21. Joey Meneses at 20. Jose Miranda at 19. Cronenworth, Bell, Rowdy, Tellez. And then my 15 to 13 would be Rizzo, Mountcastle, and Ty France.
One of my favorite dudes right now to draft, this is no shocker, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it, but it's Miguel Vargas. I think he is... Joe and I were doing these episodes on Fantasy Pros of like, called like the ultimate guide. And in it, it would be like, you know, here are the guys, like the sleepers, here are the busts, and here's the must haves. I'm starting to think Miguel Vargas might be floating in the must haves for me. And I know it's dangerous because he's a rookie and you want to be careful about all rookies, but like Miguel Vargas will not play first base. I mean, he might, you know how the Dodgers work, but he is set at this moment to be the starting second baseman. So first off, you're going to get the extra qualifications, which is beautimous. Miguel Vargas, also similar to Tristan Casas, has got the type of approach that is a floor. And what I mean by that, under 20 in the minor leagues, he had an under 20% strikeout rate at every single level except A ball in 2018 as an 18-year-old, which was 22%. He walks a bunch. He has hit over 300 at probably at least half of his stops. In 2021 alone, he hit 314 at A ball or high A. And then double A, he went and hit 321. And in 2022, he hit 300 again. He can steal a little bit where he stole 16 last year. He hit 17 homers, makes really good contact. He's in a phenomenal, phenomenal lineup that gets the best out of everybody. And he's really versatile. Miguel Vargas is undersold because I think people don't quite understand where he needs to be. He's an ECR 26. I have him at 21. He's inside my top 200. And his highest on the ECR is actually 16, which is getting borderline, but I don't hate it because he will get second base qualification. I love Miguel Vargas this year. I think he's super sneaky and he's going to be really, you know, position flexible because in a lot of spots, he's already going to probably be first base and outfield. I think on Yahoo,
that's a guy,
maybe second base.
I mean, you like him over over Casas, right? No, you have him one spot below Casas. I like him over Casas because
that might change, by the way.
There's other spots that he can play. He can play first, second, outfield. Like you just said, he's versatile. So, you know, even if he struggles, if a guy needs a day off, all right, let's put him in there. You know what I mean? Like he's going to get kind of like Jake Cronenworth did, you know, when he initially came up. He's going to find enough playing time by moving around, or if he's just too good to start, he's never going to come off a second. So, you know, I think there's multiple avenues to playing time for him. Whereas, you know, Casas, if you're not good at first and you're not hitting, you know.
Though I will say, like, what I'm waiting for is a little bit of good positive spring. That's all I'm waiting for. Because when I'm looking at this, I think I can get him up to 18.
I think that'll boost him way up because he's in the Dodgers line. Like 1 through 9 in the Dodgers lineup is an amazing spot to be. So
100%. You know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like I'm waiting for like I think as everybody is, but yeah. I'm more confident that I can move him up to 18, maybe even 17. But the Dodgers do have options. Like if they wanted Chris Taylor could be there. They're talking about Mookie Betts at second base. They just signed Peralta and you have Mookie. So you have one outfield spot with Trace Thompson and James Outman. So like they don't have all of the spots and they're putting him at a position that wasn't what he naturally did in the minor leagues. He would, you know, when I saw him in complex in like 2018 or whatever the hell it was, you know, he was a first baseman and then he moved and played outfield. Like second base is going to be a new gig. What if he defensively can't play that position? What if there's a struggle there? and they're uncomfortable with it in season, then what do you do? You know, is he now in a platoon in the outfield? So I just want a few more answers, but I'm making the bet on Miguel Vargas right now. And that's why I have him at 21, pretty extensively higher than anybody else has as far as ECR goes. Give me a guy you got here in 13 to 24.
I mean, I like Ty France a lot. I have him very high.
Wow, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I just, he's going to, you know, projected to hit two in the middle of the Mariners lineup. Wedge between Julio and Suarez. I think that's a good spot to be in. I think that lineup turns over a lot, so hitting two is great for him. You know he's got power. What do you call him? Forearm porn or something before? So.
Yeah, he's a stocky, thick dude.
Yeah, crazy. Thick boy. We like that. So yeah. I just like him in that lineup. I think it's a great spot for him to be in. What I really don't like here, though, is I feel like I just don't have a whole ton of confidence after like Miranda in this, you know, maybe even I'll throw Miranda in it because I don't particularly like him either. I'm below ECR, not by
you
a lot.
Don't like but Miranda?
Yeah. Overall, I don't really like him either. I'm lower on him and more in the overall than I am positionally.
See, this might be one of those situations because this is really funny. We're kind of flipped. I don't have Miranda as high as you have France. But I've got, and I have France a little bit higher than you have Miranda, but I have Miranda overall over higher. Ty France. I got him two spots higher. And again, I don't mean to like retread stuff I've talked about before, but like, you know, with Miranda, I think there's more power to boot. Again, this is just like these other guys, crazy low strikeout percentage, good walk, tons of contact throughout the minor leagues. Stolen bases are kind of null and void. And one of my favorite things was his two-strike approach, which I really hope continues this year because I talked about it a decent amount. 241 batting average and 0-2 counts, which is insane if you think about it. Maybe the most insane one, and I noted this against Mookie Betts, he had a 300 average against 3-2 counts last year in his rookie season. Think about
getting
that.
Getting his pitch and hitting it.
How insane that is. I mean, you get him to three balls, by the way. He is getting on base, 455 batting average and 3-0 counts, 318 and 3-1 counts, and 308 against 3-2 counts. All of that, like low strikeout rates, he is a great contact hitter, and I think he has more power than Ty France with flexibility, so that's why I like him so much.
I think you might see me lower overall on Twins, and it's because I don't particularly love the lineup. I mean, you know, if you look at it from opening day, it looks pretty solid. I mean, Buxton leading off is great. They got Correa back. Great spot for them.
Pretty good.
Polanco's a hitter. Kepler's got some power. It looks good, but when Buxton misses games and Correa misses games and Jorge Polanco has no power and Max Kepler hits a slump and there's nobody behind him. I mean, Joey Gallo's the guy behind him. So unless he takes a big tick up, Alex Kirilloff, you already said, needs robot wrists, and it's Christian Vasquez and Nick Gordon. So like this could get ugly quick. So that's another thing that I don't particularly love is the lineup.
This might be a bet.
Well,
we might have to put this down.
I would love to do that.
A Ty France versus Jose Miranda bet for the season. Because like
5x5, I like that.
Yeah, I think this is it because like
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Like I said, if we are putting Ke'Bryan Hayes is your 11th or 12th or, you know, ECR 13th third baseman compared to Rowdy Tellez being the 15th or 17th first baseman, like there's a clear difference in there. So just pay attention to it. Maybe you want to put a little bit more priority. That would be my opinion. If, especially if you got kind of one of those mid picks, you got to pick like 4, 5, 6 coming back in the second round. You got a decent shot to get a Riley or Devers. I think you should pay attention to it. Even when pitchers are on the board, I really would look at even passing up those pitchers for those third basemen if you don't think you're going to be able to make this third base context goes. And friends, that is Corner Infielders. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully we did some breakdowns that made sense, giving you guys an idea of our ranks, which you can get over at InThisLeague.com. If you guys want to sign up, check out our ranks. They will be updated March 1st, and we'll update them every week in March as well. and they'll be sent to your inbox on the Patreon. So hopefully you guys want to check that out. Coming up tomorrow, middle infielders. Get a little nugget on Tatis, and we'll talk about your second, which also isn't super great, and your shortstops, which is probably the deepest position in all of fantasy. We'll be talking about those tomorrow. We got outfielders, starting pitchers, and an overall rank 5 episodes this week. Jesus, it's crazy. If you guys have enjoyed the podcast, maybe drop a rate and review wherever you can, if you can do it. Find us on the Patreon and follow us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Dude, I got tagged. We were talking about this off air, and then we're going to get out of here. That John Boy thing. I posted a picture on John Boy. It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me because they tagged me in the tweet. Like I'm a part of it. I am getting every single like, comment, and retweet on my feed. And they
just gonna turn it off for the night.
I got to turn it off. I got to unfollow it somehow because it is blowing up. And here's the worst part about it. They took a picture of DeGrom and Greg Maddux together that I had. And they said, you can't find another duo, a better duo. So guess what? Every single comment is a better duo. DeGrom and Maddux will have the same innings this year. Better. Here's the number one comment. DeGrom and the IL is a better duo. No. It is every comment.
I thought you're going to get like Bert and Ernie. You know, I thought you're going to get like better combos. You
I'm
know,
getting
like maybe actual
comment.
Combos.
I got to be. I get these. I mean, I appreciate. I'm at least they stole
you
my picture
credit.
And at least
yeah,
put
yeah.
my credit on there. It didn't retweet me or anything, but at least they did that. But I'm getting everything. So good Lord. All right, friends. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Long one. It's gonna be a long one for the rest of the week. Hopefully you guys enjoy all the stuff and the things. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's ITL. We're out of here. Oh my God. We got to go. Bye.